3 in our series of lessons on how to study the Bible. We've talked about we must see the Bible as the literal Word of God if we are to get all that we can from its pages. We covered that in the first lesson about the Bible being the inspired Word of God. You may not think that that's a big issue, but it is a big issue in our country. Here is a Gallup report. It says 3 in 10 Americans interpret the Bible literally, saying it's the actual Word of God. That is similar to what Gallup has measured over the last 2 decades, but down from the 1970s and 80s. A 49% plurality of Americans say the Bible is the inspired Word of God. This is why they say the majority of the Americans think that the Bible is the Word of God. But listen to this. It says a 49% plurality of Americans say the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but that it should not be taken literally. Consistency, the most common view, consistently the most common view in Gallup's nearly 40-year history of this question. So Americans have the idea that the Bible, well, it's the Word of God, but we don't take it literally. You know, we just kind of take the parts of it we want to take and leave the rest go. And if we're going to get from the Bible all that we need to get and what God wants us to get, we have to see the Bible as the literal Word of God. We should be regular Bible readers. We covered that the last time, so that God can speak to us each day. It's our spiritual food. We don't eat our spiritual food regularly, we're going to get weak spiritually. So we need to keep reading the Bible. And so now that we've covered those two things, we're ready to move into Bible study, really studying the Bible, which is the meat of the Word. You know, just reading the Bible, the day-to-day thing, is kind of the milk. But if you want to really get into the meat, then you move into Bible study. So the next lessons, few lessons, we're going to cover the basics of good Bible study. And as it says here in the notes, our principles and methods of interpretation are very important to proper Bible study. So that's where we're going to start in this thing of how to study the Bible. Now here is a very important point. This number one here is important because many people get off base right here at the start when it comes to interpretation of the Bible. Instead of looking for hidden meaning, we should be looking for the plain words of the text. Instead of looking for hidden meaning, we should be looking for the plain words of the text. God wrote this Bible for us to understand. And I know some Bible students are all the time looking for something deeper. There's got to be something else here. There's got to be a hidden meaning. We'll just take the Bible for what it says. God says what He means and means what He says. And so we need to learn to just look at the plain text. Look at these verses here in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Some folks have a hard time keeping up when we go to Proverbs, go to Ecclesiastes, go to Song of Solomon, go to James, go to Hebrews, and there. Well, you know, one of the good things in Bible study that you can do starting out is work on memorizing the books of the Bible. Amen. Just work on memorizing them so you can say them right off. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and right on down the line, you can say the Bibles, the books of the Bible by memory, and in the New Testament as well. So then, when the speaker says, go to this thing, you know right in your Bible where to head for, because you know the books of the Bible. You know the order that they appear. When you're in your own Bible study and you're looking and studying and you know that there's another verse in another place, or maybe you have a study guide, which we'll talk about some of those things later on, and you can take and know right where to go in your Bible. You don't have to go over and look at the front. Now, where is that? And where is that book? And you waste time. You can know right where to go in your Bible. So here in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 8 to 10, notice what it says. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So it's very plain. He says that his words are plain. Look in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. See, if you know the books of the Bible, you know you can just go to Matthew and come back a few books and you're right there. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write in the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. See, the Lord wanted us to understand what he wrote. He didn't write this Bible in mysteries. He wrote it for us to understand. He spoke to the heart of men and minds of holy men of God, and they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they penned what God wanted them to write plainly for us to understand. You say, well, I don't have that. It's not that easy for me to understand it. Well, I like what R.A. Torrey said. He said, if I could pick up the Bible and understand it like a child's storybook, I wouldn't believe it came from God. But you know, if we understand the methods of interpretation in the Bible and how to study the Bible, then it begins to open up to us. Much of the time we don't get from the Bible because we don't know how to get from the Bible. And that's what we're trying to learn in these lessons. So God has made it plain for us to understand. Let's look in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus had a lot to say about the Bible. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Notice how he put this. He didn't say every passage. He didn't say every book. He said every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He took it to be that every word of the Bible is the inspired word of God, and God has made it plain for us, just like we would eat our normal food. We can eat and digest the word of God, spiritually speaking, and understand it. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Jesus again said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, those are the smallest markings in the Hebrew language, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So God gave us this Bible to tell us what we needed to know. And when a passage makes sense, seek no other sense. I mean, when God says what he means and means what he says, why are we looking for some hidden message? Just take the Bible for what it says. Scripture can, C-A-N, can be understood. Scripture can be understood. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we've already covered that verse. It's given to us for everything that we need so that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Scripture can be understood. Why would God say to us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works? Why would he say that if he gave us something we couldn't understand? He gave us this Bible to be understood. And the understanding is not God's problem. It's man's problem because he doesn't try to understand. He'll read it and say, well, I can't make any sense out of that. Put it aside. Well, we have to do what we need to do so that we can understand. The Bible can be understood. Number two here, the Bible never contradicts itself. Never contradicts itself. I've told you before about the radio station for several years, I think it was over 20 years, they offered $1,000 to anyone who could prove a contradiction in the Bible. No one ever did in those over 20 years could ever prove it, because when they brought the supposed contradictions and it was explained to them in the light of the whole of Scripture, they saw that it wasn't a contradiction after all. There were some who were so set in their way about it that they knew it was a contradiction and went to court. And in court, they proved that it was not a contradiction. When the evidence, Scripture compared with Scripture. And in over 20 years, no one ever collected the $1,000 because they could not find a contradiction in the Bible. The Bible never contradicts itself. Jesus said in John 10:35, the Scripture cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. Now, Scripture interprets Scripture. Clear passages will interpret hard to understand passages. So what does that mean? That simply means that if you have a place that is difficult to understand, it requires further study. It requires further study. It requires you to go on in your Bible study. And as you go on, you will come to understand the passage that is more obscure. Clear passages will interpret hard to understand passages. Notice what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So comparing Scriptures with Scriptures, we come up with answers to questions concerning things that are difficult to understand in the Bible, topics that are taught in the Bible, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Number three, these are methods of interpretation, proper methods of interpretation. There are different ones, as we'll see as we go down through here. I'll mention some. Here's one right here, number three. Scripture has only one meaning in a given passage. Has only one meaning. Now, there are people who say, well, this is what it means to me. No, that isn't right. Well, for me, it means this. No, it only has one meaning. You can't make it say what you want it to say. Is not acceptable for the true Bible student, but what is acceptable is what did God mean? What did God mean in this passage? Not what I think it means, not what I want it to mean. That's the way many people interpret the Bible. It's a wrong way to interpret it. I'll take this to justify what I'm doing. I can give you Scripture to back up what I'm doing. But you've forgotten that Scripture must be compared with Scripture. We must compare Scripture with Scripture. And just because you have your verse does not mean that that's the way we should go. That's what you want it to mean, but that isn't what God meant. And so it's very important for us in Bible study to look at what did God mean. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12, and we'll notice something in this verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That word quick has the meaning of living, alive, up to date. when you read the Bible, it speaks to your heart today. Do you realize that you hold in your hand one of the oldest books in existence in some of the writings of the Bible? But you read it and it's right up to date. How's that? It's because it's the Bible. God wrote it for all men. He wrote it for all mankind. And it applies to us today, even though it was written many, many, many years ago. You can go to the library and get some books that were written just a few hundred years ago, and you'll read them and you'll laugh because they're just so out of date. They don't apply to today. But you don't read the Bible and laugh. Well, there's some places that God has a sense of humor, and you read some of those stories and you laugh, but for the most part, we read the Bible and it speaks to our heart. It speaks right to our heart. And it's right up to date. That's what that word quick means. It's living. It's up to date. And powerful. That word's where we get our word energy, and it's powerful in our lives. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Cuts right down into our lives spiritually. And of the joints and the marrow, it cuts deep. The joints and the marrow is in the bone. That's the deepest you can cut. It's clear down into the marrow of the bone. It cuts deep into us spiritually. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, you can't be much of a Bible student without the Bible getting to your heart and to your thoughts and your thinking. You want to prove that the Bible is what God said it is, then just study it. It'll get to your heart. That's what happened to the French atheist Renan. He determined to prove the Bible wrong, but when he got into study it, he became a believer. And he wrote in his thesis, he wrote about the Bible, and his last statement was, "Repose in thy divinity, thou matchless Son of God." He became a believer. You can't get into this book in the right way, with the right attitude, and not come out without a changed life. Look in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 7 and 8. This is interesting here in Psalm 19. As he talks about the Bible in these scriptures. In verse 7 and 8. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." That means it's all there. It's mature, it's full, it's complete. Converting the soul. It's everything that's needed for man's salvation. Now, some of the religions in the world today disagree with that. They don't take God at His word. And they think that you need other things beyond what God has given us in this book and beyond Jesus Christ. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, isn't that what it says? Making wise the simple? People say, "Well, I can't understand the Bible." Well, it's been written for the simple, for those that have difficulty in understanding. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Now, go over to Song of Solomon, just back there. After Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and look at verse 10. "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the sun, fair as the moon, clear as the sun." Clear as the sun. Boy, you ever seen the sun out there in the sky? You can't hardly look at it. I mean, it's so bright. It's pretty clear. You know it's there. "Clear as the sun and terrible as an army with banners." That word "clear" is the same word that's translated "pure" over here in Psalm 19. "The commandment of the Lord is pure," clear, enlightening the eyes. See, God made His word so that we could understand it. The difficulty in understanding it is the rate, is a thermometer that measures our spiritual growth. If we have real difficulty understanding the Word of God, we're not very well matured spiritually. Because the more we mature spiritually, the more we understand the Word of God.
Amen.
And someday we will see Him face to face, and we'll understand even better some of the hard things that are there for us to understand. Scripture has only one meaning. God has made it so that we can understand it. He's made it clear. And so many Bible students try to... I remember one student in Bible college when I was there, he took that passage over in the New Testament where it says, "Beware of dogs." And he was trying to find a deeper message in that. Now, that's all he could talk about. I don't think he got anything else out of class because he was so caught up in trying to find some hidden message in that "beware of dogs." And we have to watch it, that we just take the Bible for what it says. Number four, the Bible is final. The Bible is final. This is where I find many Christians have difficulty in their interpretation of the Word of God. I find many Christians go in error here, that the Bible is final. It is the authority. Trends, family history. "Well, my mother and my father, my dad, he never did it that way. My brother, my sister, you know, it's always been the custom." Psychology, popular views, and personal preferences must bow to the Word of God. They must bow to the Word of God. I find this to be a big factor in the disciplining of children. Modern society does not agree with the teaching of the Bible. But I find that parents who will follow the Bible will find that their children will do right well. In fact, they will do very well if we learn to take God's authority over our lives, the Word of God that He's given us. I've had people say to me, "Well, you know, I understand that, but we just don't do that. My parents didn't do that. I don't do that." Well, we have to see that the Bible is final. It is the authority. Some Christians go error here when it comes to finances. They know what the Bible says, but they go against it and do it anyhow. And they make unwise decisions in their finances, and then down the line they're hurting, and they wonder why. "I've been faithful in serving the Lord." Well, if we don't follow God's principles of finance, then we're going to run into difficulty, just like He said in the Word. The Bible tells us that money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. And when we love our own ways of doing our finances instead of buckling down and biting the bullet and tightening up the belt and doing it God's way, then how do we expect to see blessing in that area of our life? You see, the Bible is final. The good Bible student comes to that conclusion that I may think this way, but the Bible says it this way. Therefore, I will go God's way and not my way. Now, sometimes, yes, people can be confused with the Bible and they've got their verse for doing things a certain way. But as we study the Bible and we approach with what the Bible actually says in the matter, then that's what we need to do. Follow the Word of God. It is the authority. Look what Jesus said there in Matthew 28 and verse 18. This settles the issue. He made it very clear. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying..." This is after His resurrection. "All power." That's the word that we get our word authority. So He says, "All authority. All authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is the highest authority. What is the highest authority in your life as a Christian? Right here. This is it. This is the highest authority. This overrides everything else. You say, what if the government says? Well, if the government says something that's contrary to the Bible, then we're to follow the Bible. It's what the disciples said. We ought to obey God rather than men. We're committed to obey the laws, Romans chapter 13, and we should. The stop sign's there. We're supposed to stop. And I'm a Christian. I've got Christian liberties. If I don't see anything coming, I can run the stop sign. Christian liberties. No. Christian liberties is a bunch of bunk, in my opinion. It's Christians use that Christian liberty thing to do things that are contrary to the Bible. We need to follow the Word of God, and we need to obey the laws. But if there's a law made, like here at Calvary, it's approaching, it's coming, that they'll tell us that if we do not accept homosexuals into the membership here, we cannot operate as a tax-exempt church. Well, then we'll say bye-bye. We won't operate as a tax-exempt church. We're not going to allow homosexuals, known homosexuals, to be members. We may have some members that are homosexuals that we don't know about, but if we know about it, we'll do church discipline. And we're not going to accept it. And because of that, we may come to the place where the law will say, you cannot operate as a church. We will go underground then. We will continue to operate. We will obey God in the matter. It's an abomination to Almighty God. Six states now have... And did you know that it was a Republican Senate in New York that passed the same-sex marriage bill? A Republican Senate passed it in New York. And now it's six states have recognized same-sex marriage. Sad time we're living in. While I'm there, I'll just take a few minutes to... We think that we live in this great United States, and we are number one in the world. Well, we are. Let me give you 20 areas where we are number one. The United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world and the largest total prison population on the entire globe. According to NationMaster.com, the United States has the highest percentage of obese people in the world. Number three, the United States has the highest divorce rate on the globe by a wide margin. The United States is tied with the United Kingdom for the most hours of television watched per person each week. Number five, the United States has the highest rate of illegal drug use on the entire planet. Number six, there are more car thefts in the United States each year than anywhere else in the whole world by far. Number seven, there are more reported rapes in the United States each year than anywhere else in the world. Number eight, there are more reported murders in the United States each year than anywhere else in the world. Number nine, there are more total crimes in the United States each year than anywhere else in the world. Number 10, the United States also has more police officers than anywhere else in the world. Number 11, the United States spends much more on health care as a percentage of GDP than any other nation on the face of the earth. Number 12, the United States has more people on pharmaceutical drugs than any other country on the planet. Number 13, the percentage of women taking antidepressants in America is higher than any other country in the world. Number 14, Americans have more student loan debt than anywhere else in the world. Number 15, more pornography is created in the United States than anywhere else in the entire globe. 89% is made in the USA, and only 11% is made in the rest of the world. Number 16, the United States has the largest trade deficit in the world every single year, between December 2000 and December 2010. The United States ran a total trade deficit of $6.1 trillion with the rest of the world, and the U.S. has had a negative trade balance every single year since 1976. Number 17, the United States spends 7 times more on the military than any other nation on the planet. Now, you have to realize we have the largest military. That's one good thing, I guess we could say, that we have a large military. In fact, U.S. military spending is greater than the military spending of China, Russia, Japan, India, and the rest of the NATO combined. Number 18, the United States has far more foreign military bases than any other country does. Number 19, the United States has the most complicated tax system in the entire world. Number 20, the U.S. has accumulated the biggest national debt that the world has ever seen, and it is rapidly getting worse. Right now, the U.S. government debt is expanding at a rate of, anybody want to guess?
100%.
How much it is per second increasing? Every second, how much our debt increases?
13 trillion.
If it did that, we would really be in trouble. We're already in trouble. It's $40,000 every second. Every second, our national debt expands $40,000. That's how critical it has become. And we're in an administration that is lying and not and telling a bunch of untruths to try to get the debt ceiling increased so we can go in even farther. So we can borrow money to pay the loans. Pay the interest on the loans, that's right. Sad shape that we're in.
Amen.
See, when we do not bow to the Scriptures as the final authority, then we can look for adversity. We can look for difficulties. We can look for problems to come into our life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, we'll get on this quickly. I got about 5 minutes or so to get finished up here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And verse 29. Jesus said, and it said about Jesus, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the Bible is the authority over our lives. And we need to take it as final. It's not what I think. It's not how I feel. But it's what the Scripture says that makes a difference. Some people say, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it.
That's right.
Right there, there's the difference. The Bible is the final authority. Number 5, the Bible's purpose is to guide us and give instructions. Look at these many verses. Now, if God gave us this book to guide us, first of all, to guide us to everlasting life, and then to guide us with the issues of life, to lead us, why wouldn't he make it plain for us to understand? Why wouldn't he make it so we could understand it? Is he a deceiving God? Is he a trickster God? No. The Bible can be understood. We must get that settled if we're going to be Bible students. So notice, here in Psalm 119, verse 11, we'll run through these really quickly. It says in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the Bible is going to show me what's right, what's wrong, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. As it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Notice verse 24. "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." The preacher that will teach the Bible and preach the Bible shouldn't have to do a lot of counseling, because he will teach his people how to get their counsel from the Word of God. If you want the answer to the issues that you're facing, dig it out of the Word. Pastor and the men here in the church and leadership will be glad to show you what the Bible says. I've had people come in for counseling and I told them what the Bible said. They didn't want to hear that. They wanted me to tell them something and make it easy. The Bible has the right answers. And if you do it, it will work. If you follow the counsel of the Word of God. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That's the right attitude to have. I want to know what you said, not what I think or what I want to hear. If I'm wrong, tell me. Isn't that what you want your God to do? If you're wrong, tell me. You know, when we're at work, and the boss seems to be kind of standoffish and kind of not... Well, look, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me. I want to know so I can do this job right. And that's the way it is with God. He wants to tell us. We need to look to Him, His Word. Look in verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That's what every Christian needs to do. Or I need to see what the Bible says about it, and that's the way I'll go. I'm not going to listen to this thing of what the trends are. What, you know, we bring up about going to the theater and movies, and most Christians nowadays don't see a thing in the world wrong with that. Well, why not get in the Bible and search it out? See what God said about it. See if maybe you need to change your ways there. You know, it's something to consider. What did God say? Now, verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Get into the Bible. What happens? It gives you good judgment and knowledge. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's going to show us the way that we should go, how we should live. Verse 130, this longest chapter in the Bible that has to do with the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Entrance of thy words giveth light. It's going to help you to see what you need to see. Many marriage problems be solved if we would just determine, all right, what does God say for a husband to do? That's what I'll do. What does God say for a wife to do? That's what I'll do. You know what happens if you do that? It'll solve your marriage problems. It'll put an end to it. Follow the Word of God. Look at 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. That's what every Christian ought to have. I want my life to be guided by the Bible. God gave us this Bible to guide us, to give us instructions. And when we follow it, it produces changed lives. It produces changed lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible produces changed lives. We listen to it, it'll show us how to live, it'll bring us to the truth of salvation, and it'll teach us the right way. Number 6, every scripture must be interpreted, and we'll get into this more later, but it must be interpreted in its historical setting and its grammatical context. Basically what that's saying is that the Bible must be studied in context. You can't take it out of its context. 2 Peter 2:15, up there, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in 2 Peter 3:16, 2 Peter 3:16, here's what it says. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now you see, the Bible tells us that there are some things that are hard to understand. It says that right there in the Bible. say, well, there are some things, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, there are some things that are hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned, did you catch that? Those that are unlearned are going to get in trouble with the hard-to-understand places. Because they're going to make it say something that it shouldn't say. We say, how do you see that? Well, it says, those that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Two basic Bible study things that every Christian ought to have. One is a good concordance. Strong's is probably one of the best. Have a good concordance. Now, you can save yourself a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to look things up in a concordance and go down through every verse. I've done it that way for many years, but since the computers came out, I now have online Bible. You can get that for free. You can download it, onlinebible.org. And you can download the Bible and you can learn how to use it. It'll teach you how to use it when you start out. And you can look up how many times that things appear in the Bible, and you can look up the places. You can look the first time, the last time, all the places in between that appears. Really easy. You can do that with the Strong's Concordance if you don't have the computer program. You can look up the verse in the Bible, and then you can follow through and find that in other places if you learn how to use the Strong's Concordance and how many times that word appears in the Bible. Because you take, like, the word... Here we have the word rest. We can go in here and look up rest, and we can find that it appears, I think it appears 7 times in the scriptures, and you can look that up. So every Bible student ought to have some type of a concordance, either online or that, so that you can look up the times something appears in the Bible. Every Bible student should have a good Bible dictionary. Now, you have to realize that some of the late dictionaries no longer go to the King James was written in the 1600s, 1611. And so the English that's used here, some of the words have changed meaning. So if you're going to get a good dictionary, get the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. We can get those for you in the library. And Webster's 1828. That'll give you the words that were used in the King James. And so let's look up that word rest in this dictionary and see what it says. Here it is, rest. To twist or extort by violence. To pull or force from by violent wringing or twisting, as to wrest an instrument from another's hands. So the idea is they rest the scriptures. They pulled away from its actual meaning. And that's what many people do with the places that are hard to understand. They wrest the scriptures. They pull it away from what it actually means. If a place is hard to understand, we need to examine other scriptures. If we still can't find it, then we need to just let it go. Go on. Get from the Bible what you can get, and later on you will understand it. Some things that we need to look at in the Bible when we study it, we'll talk more about these later. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? What are the conditions? And to whom is he speaking? Who's speaking and who's he speaking to? To whom is he speaking? Now, in the passage, is the passage speaking to lost or saved? That's very important. I'm going to take a passage and make it apply to me that applies to lost people. Or make a saved passage apply to lost people? For saved people? Vice versa? Gotta watch that. Are there obvious figures of speech? Are there obvious figures of speech or types? You can look up these verses. We'll just do it right quickly. The time's getting clear away from me, but I'll finish this up as fast as I can. In the book of Proverbs chapter 21. How we interpret the Bible is very important if we're going to be a good Bible student. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Here's a figure of speech. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Well, that's not talking literally. We know that. He doesn't have holding the king's heart in his hand. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It's a figure of speech that God has controlled the king. People get all worried about America and the economical situation, but you can guarantee one thing. The powers that be are not more powerful than God. He is ultimately in control. Yes, Gerald, quickly, because I'm out of time. Number six? Okay. Is the passage speaking to lost or saved? Are there figures of speech or types? Are there obvious figures of speech or types? Before that, who is speaking? What are the conditions? And to whom is he speaking? Let's see who's speaking there and what are the conditions that are given there and who's it speaking to. That's an important thing to look at in a passage. John 3:14 is an example of a type. Jesus said very clearly, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Numbers 21. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So what happened back there in Numbers 21 is a type of Christ. He made that clear. Romans 15:4, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and for our comfort, hope in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:11, and samples to us. Is it an illustration? Look at a quick illustration that Jesus used, because this is a good one. I just can't pass this up. Sorry about the time, but I just can't pass this one up. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41. Here's an illustration. Jesus used a lot of illustrations in the Scripture. And he said, here in verse 41, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Now, if you look up the word mote here in the dictionary, you'll find that it means a small particle, just a little particle. That is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye. If you look that up in the dictionary, you'll find that it's a large piece of timber. It's like the big beam that holds the main beam that holds up a building. So can you imagine the illustration that Jesus used? Here's a man with this great big beam in his eye trying to tell his brother to get this little speck out of his eye. And Jesus said in verse 42, "Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." That's a really good illustration. So many times we can see the errors of others, but we don't see the big error that we have ourselves. What is a figures of speech? Well, there are metaphors and there are similes. What's a metaphor? Well, when the Bible says, Jesus said about Herod, remember he said, "Tell that fox." Was Herod a fox? No. That's a metaphor. When you say, man is a fox. Now, if you say, man is like a fox, that's a similitude, simile. Man is like a fox. And there are many of those in the Bible, so we need to understand those things. We'll get into that more later. Number seven, every subject must be interpreted in the light of all Scripture. 1 Peter 1:19-20. 20 says, "No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It must be interpreted in whole." You can look at the Bible first and last. If you have a good concordance, you can take a subject like the tree of life. You can find that the first time the tree of life appears is Genesis 2:9. The last time it appears is Revelation 22:14. And then there are several times in between, 10 times total. 10 times, 8 in between there, that the tree of life appears in the Bible. And if you look at all of the teaching of the tree of life, what an interesting story comes out of the Scripture. And that someday we will be eating of that tree of life again because of Jesus Christ. It's all there in the study of the tree of life. Number 8, Christ is the main subject of the Bible and the master key to understanding it. You can look these verses up. Colossians 3:11, he's the all in all. Colossians 3:11, let's go over there and look at that one because it's a good one. Colossians 3:11 and then verse 17. Colossians 3:11. It says in the last part of that verse, but Christ is all and in all. In verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In John chapter 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. John chapter 15 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And John chapter 1 calls him the Word of God. And then notice Revelation chapter and verse 14 also says the Word became flesh. And Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10 is one I want you to see. It's very clear here. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You see, that's what the Bible is all about, is Jesus. And in verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. And then Romans 11:36, and there's just a couple more verses I want to take you to, and we'll be done. Romans 11:36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, said these words in Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the good Bible student realizes that Christ is the main subject, and he begins to look in all the scripture for Jesus. Well, that's the proper, some of the methods of proper interpretation of the Bible. I hope they'll be a help to you. And we're going to really get into how to study the Bible and how to get from it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this group of people and their patience to stick with me through this little, rather long lesson tonight. But it is an important one to understand proper methods of interpretation. And if we will get these things right, we will become good Bible students as we follow the methods of Bible study. Our interpretation must be right, our methods of interpretation. For those who may be here and have never put their personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, may they realize that's the main message of the Bible, and help them to get it settled tonight. Come and let someone show them how to be saved and get it settled. Thank you again for your word to guide us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.